Welcome to Women in WP,
a bi-monthly podcast about women who blog, design, develop, and more in the WordPress community.
Hi, welcome to Women in WP. Today's episode is sponsored by Ninja Forms, a professional form building plugin for WordPress. I'm Angela Bowman.
And I'm Tracy Epps.
Our guest today is Tara King, joining us from Albuquerque, New Mexico, one of my favorite places in the West. Tara currently works as the Director of Developer Relations at Automattic, where she helps developers understand and adopt Gutenberg. Bless her heart. We all need to understand and adopt Gutenberg. Come on, people. Welcome, Tara.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
We like to start off each episode asking our guests how they got into WordPress. How did you get started?
Yeah. So many years ago, I was a print designer. So I was making posters and postcards, and I was also in my early 20s. And I was kind of like, everyone else my age knows how to make a website, but me. I don't know why I had that feeling, but I just was like, I am behind the times. And I was kind of active in the arts world at that time. I was doing a lot of performance and dance stuff. So my dance company needed a website, and I had someone donate a Drupal site. So here's like the first curveball in the story. And they were like, here's your website. I'm not going to keep it up for you. Here you go. And so I had these kind of design skills. So I thought, okay, I can do this. I can figure this out. And I started sort of being the content kind of editor side of this Drupal site. This is back in Drupal 6 days. So we're talking like 2009, 2010-ish. So a while ago. And that was cool. And I started learning Drupal, and that kind of got my feet wet in terms of PHP development and how do these CMS system type, you know, work. And then my artist friends started kind of asking for help, right? They're like, oh, I need a website. My website's 1,000 years old, or I don't have one. And really, I basically found myself in a place where nobody had the budget for Drupal. It was too expensive, needed too much custom code. Even back then, when it was simpler and there were a lot more people doing that kind of work with Drupal, it was just not a good fit. And so I basically had an artist friend who wanted a website, and I was like, okay, let's try this WordPress thing. And that was kind of my first real, you know, I had been also one of those sort of bloggers who tries every platform. So I had tried WordPress before as well. So I kind of had a little bit of background there, but that was kind of the first site I really built. And so since then, I've kind of kept my feet in both worlds, where I'm building WordPress sites, building Drupal sites, like going to both camps. So yeah, that was probably around 2013 was when I really started kind of building them professionally for other people.
So you really are a spy from Drupal or WordPress. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
I'm like a double agent at this point,
yeah.
I think.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Yeah.
Sounds great. I mean, now your cover is blown. So I don't know. We're going to have to.
Yeah. They didn't really cover the don't talk about your double agent status on a podcast at Spy School. So we'll find out what happens.
I went to one Drupal meetup in, I think, 2009. Thinking, oh, is WordPress like not the right thing to use? You know, I probably met a Drupal developer who tried to convince me of this. And hey, you can come to our meetup. And I go to this meetup and I just sat there and like, I would need 15 people to build a website. And this is going to cost 4 or 5 times as much as WordPress site. And this is way too complicated for what most people need. So maybe I'll just stick with WordPress.
Yeah. Yeah,
but it's great for what it's great for.
Yeah. I think it's helpful to have that moment where you kind of look around, because Drupal was kind of natural just because of who I knew. They knew Drupal developers for whatever random reason. And I think that happens to a lot of people in WordPress too, right? It's just like you happen to know someone who knows WordPress, and that's how you get started. So I think it was really good for me to kind of stop and look around and see what else was out there. And, you know, it certainly helped me be more knowledgeable in both spaces. Like, it's just given a lot of context that's really helpful.
You know, it's interesting to me when I've dabbled in other CMSs based on, even in Perl CMSs, there's all these things that are, you can really transfer from one to the other. You know, you have often kind of hooks, if you will, and you have All the templates are the same. You have a loop, you just figure out what their loop is. They have proprietary calls to, you know, do different file includes and stuff like that. And so how deep into PHP were you when you made this transition, and have, do you, how do you feel about working within WordPress PHP?
When I made the transition, I was, so I'm a self-taught developer, or community taught, you know, learned from just everybody around me. And so in Drupal 7 was procedural PHP, which is very similar to WordPress's setup. And so when I kind of got into WordPress, it felt very, very, very similar. Mm-hmm. Drupal switched to object-oriented programming, which I like cried about, not gonna lie, because I was by myself, you know, like a solo person who just barely figured out procedural PHP. And now you're asking for object-oriented PHP. And I don't, like, I don't have time. I need to deliver this project so I can pay my bills. Like, I don't have time. So I kind of had like a meltdown about it a little bit. But I did learn it. And so so I've been doing developer relations for a few years now, but before I switched into that, I was a senior backend developer at Universal Music Group. So I was pretty deep in the PHP stuff. The one thing that was really nice about that switch in the Drupal world is that it's also helped me understand Gutenberg a little bit, and also made me more confident that I can understand Gutenberg. So not so much, you know, crying as I used to do. It's much more of a calm transition these days.
That brings up Gutenberg. So yes, Gutenberg. You love it or you hate it. But,
oh, so you don't have to say nice things in front of me. I won't report you to
anybody. Okay, okay. Today. Well, I have complaints about things, but also I see that it has, I also see the direction it's going and the need it serves. I just am a very disgruntled, like crotchety old UX designer who get off my lawn when you change something. You damn kids, get off my lawn. Yeah, so that's my preference. But so what was that transition? You said it was easier with object oriented. So tell us about that, because most of Gutenberg is JavaScript, right? Or React, right?
Yeah. So I think for me, it was just that I had done a hard thing, right? Like I felt it was kind of that just kind of self-confidence. If I've already done the hard thing, I can do this hard thing. I think that the Drupal world is a little bit more familiar, or has gotten, the other thing that happened at that same time when object-oriented became a thing was package management and Composer became a big part of Drupal. And a ton of people, myself included, probably cried over that too, didn't want to learn that kind of thing and didn't want to learn package management or command line tools. And so that also gave me that kind of head. I feel like what I hear from a lot of folks, I'm totally interested to see if this is also your experience, is that sort of like the build step with React and having it feels like more sort of structure around you. Like you can't just do the work. You have to do work to get to do the work. And I think that I had kind of already gone through that process, learning sort of the object-oriented stuff and then learning how to use Composer. It was like, okay, yeah, you're going to have a more complicated development environment. But like, actually, when I sat down to learn to like write my first Gutenberg block, I was so intimidated. I was so like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to do this. And it was fine. Like, I was surprised how straightforward, like it was a learning curve, but it was not like I expected, because I also, being a PHP person, was like, JavaScript can just stay in its corner. Like, I will give that to someone else to do that. I don't want to. So I was very surprised actually how like kind of straightforward it was. There was definitely a learning curve. The fact that you have to kind of build the output and then you have to like match the input, right? When you're building the block, it's like the point is that it should look like the output. And so it kind of took me a minute to figure out like, why does this look so weird? Oh, because you didn't make it look nice kind of thing. And then, you know, like the build step and that kind of compiling thing. But ultimately I found it relatively straightforward. And I feel like a lot of the same principles of like, you have something that needs to go in the database and then you need to get something out of the database to show it on the website, like it's all still there. So I think that's where that kind of connection for me comes from. It's just having okay, I'm going to do the thing that I'm, you know, like, I'm going to trust that this is worth doing. It felt very similar to Gutenberg. It's like, I'm going to trust that this is worth doing. And it's been pretty great so far.
Trust the process.
The different tutorials online and kind of starter, there's a lot of ways to get started where you don't have to reinvent the wheel to do this from scratch. You can really kind of have a sort of starter block, if you will, and then kind of work within that. The blocks I've made have just been ACF blocks, and those are super dead simple. Yeah, easy.
Because me and JavaScript have had a hate-hate relationship for over 20 years, so it's not.
Why mess up a good thing if you've got to go for that long? Right?
Exactly.
We know, you know where you stand with each other.
Exactly. You stay over there. I'll stay over here. We coexist and wave every so often.
So yeah. There's two aspects of this we're talking about. One is just the UI, which I have no problem with the concept of the blocks. I think the blocks are great. You know, I don't take issue with Gutenberg itself. I think the UI is just, you really can't tell at all what you do. It's like nearly impossible just to work within that thing. And so it seems like the from the interface standpoint, it's just been made to be as magical as possible. Like,
magic, so that's a good word for it, because all of a sudden, like, how did that happen? Magic. How
do I get it to go again?
No idea.
Salt all around your computer, and you'll be able to get the block to. Yeah. But anyway, so we won't talk about it. I'm all about the development part, because I think, you know, maybe I'm not going to get involved with the team to help to improve the UI. But as a person who builds sites and is curious about block development, what do you think the best tutorials for a developer are? Because that's what so many things have happened, where people are really putting out some good work to teach people.
I wish I had a good answer for this question. So I, taking this job that I have right now at Automattic is about making these tutorials, making the right tutorials, or finding the right tutorials. Like, it's not, we don't have to make them all ourselves, but doing that. So that's actually something we're kind of looking at right now. So obviously learn.wordpress.org is starting to come together. And I think what we have found is that I'm not on that team, but what I've heard from that team is that the developer content is, like, when it comes out, is really, really very high traffic, and people love to see it. And so we're kind of putting together some stuff now, some plans for who we might ask to put courses together on which Gutenberg topics. So that's coming. I made a very specific choice when I was building my first Gutenberg block, because I was looking at this position and looking, was like, I want to do it with all the official channels, just to see what the state of things is, just to see what the documentation is and all of that. And I really couldn't do it, right? It was, and people are working really hard on that. And I'm not here to talk badly about their work, but Gutenberg is changing so quickly that it's hard for people to keep up with. Like, that's a very real challenge. And so it's not like people are, you know, every open source project, every software project, I'll just say that, is a major challenge. And especially with this one, like, the paradigm shift is really big for the people who've historically been involved, and the people who are so good at React are maybe not necessarily accustomed to the WordPress way. So point being, it's just that there's a lot of sort of moving pieces and a lot of people trying to get skills up to speed. And it's like, I don't think it's even clear at this point exactly which skills you need to get up to speed to do Gutenberg development. Some people know, it's not like it's a secret, but I just think it's kind of foggy and confusing at this point. So not to say that there aren't good tutorials out there. It's just that I've had my head down really a lot looking at the official documentation on WordPress.org, looking at the examples that we have. I don't think the examples repo for Gutenberg is, like, it's being updated right now by Ryan Welcher, but, like, before that had been untouched for about 3 years. And so entire major concepts for block development were utterly missing. It was like, I would look at the documentation and look at the code and, like, and I'm the kind of person that I need to see the example alongside the documentation, right?
Yep.
And so that's the thing we're working on right now. It's just like, if we're going to have theme.json, like, we need to have examples of how it works. If we're going to have block.json, we need to have an example that has that. So all I can say is, it's absolutely a need for the community. And I'd love to hear, like, if people are listening, or if either of you have things that you think are awesome, I'd love to see them, because we're just kind of trying to make sure we're not reinventing the wheel. But I think it feels to me like a lot of Gutenberg tutorials kind of huge flowering back when 5.0 came out, and then, you know, people can't keep up with it. And that's really a real challenge for the community. So doing my best to kind of patch up some of those gaps.
It's good to hear, because I'm the same. I'm like trying to find documentation, and I think that's what makes it so like daunting. And yeah, like you said, like when you're working for yourself and you have to pay the bills, what's better to just do what you know and get paid, or spend a month trying to find this stuff? So I'm really glad. And actually, I've spoke with some people at the learn.wordpress team, and I'm excited about the direction it's going, because I think it's a big need, and I think it's gonna really be successful. But it is a mess, because there's so much, like, I can't even imagine trying to like start off with already this, and you're like, here we go, here is a hoarder's house, now make it ready for the market, go.
It's a lot. And I think there is a, like I said, I think there's this kind of bridge between sort of like the historic WordPress way and then the sort of JavaScript modern way. And I think we're probably going to end up making tutorials, and I don't just mean my team, I mean everyone in WordPress, but we're going to need stuff that's only temporarily useful. You know, like, if you are this WordPress developer and you need to get to this Gutenberg, after a couple of years, most of the community will probably have, you know, consumed that and done that. But right now it's like everyone's kind of looking, it's like we took, 25 jigsaw puzzles, shook them all together and threw them on the floor, and people are just like, this one's blue.
I got a blue one. Anyone got a blue one?
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, like I said, not trying, like everybody's been doing their best, and it's just a big project and it's a big community.
Yeah.
So there's a lot to do.
It's not something that's, it's not an easy fix. And I know that. Yeah. Same thing with like Gutenberg and all of that.
Hey, Women in WP listeners, this is Tracy with a quick message from our sponsor, Ninja Forms. Wish you could build forms for WordPress without spending forever or recruiting help? You can. Ninja Forms is the WordPress form plugin that is both extremely flexible and easy to use. Create contact forms, order forms, donation forms, and more in literally minutes using pre-built templates. Easily customize with form logic, upload fields, multi-step pages, and more. Just drag and drop what you need where you need it. Integrate with hundreds of services like MailChimp, Google Sheets, HubSpot, and more without needing to write a line of code. Get Ninja Forms now at ninjaforms.com. And now, back to our show.
And so I didn't even... What is your role as like developer relations when it comes to Gutenberg?
Yeah, so developer relations is kind of like a niche within a niche within a niche, which is to say we're all developers, and or at least very technically minded folks who essentially go into the WordPress community and listen. So like, honestly, right now I'm getting as much from you guys as probably you are from me, because hearing that feedback, hearing what's causing problems, hearing where people are feeling resistant, like it's all relevant, because the thing with WordPress, right, is 42% of the internet. If one person is willing to say to me, this is the problem I'm having, there's almost certainly like 10,000 people having that problem that just aren't talking.
Point. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's all relevant. I think sometimes people think, oh, this is just me being too lazy to learn or too resistant or too whatever. And it's like, no, it's probably a valid concern. So we go out into the community, we listen to what people are struggling with, where people are having success too, because people are having success with Gutenberg. And then we kind of try to bring it into the contributor teams and sort of synthesize it into themes or file bugs in the repo or whatever needs to get fixed. So we're kind of here to do both. Like, hey, people are feeling like they don't understand block themes. So let's either, like I said, put together or find the training around that can help people find the next step. So it's kind of a mishmash of development work, you know, coding, and also blogging, writing, putting together videos, talking at camps, and then kind of community management or relationship management, just sort of talking to everyone. Like for example, the gallery block has been refactored and it's going to have some effect on certain things. So we've been pulling a list of everyone who relies on the original gallery blocks. We can talk to them and make sure that they're not like flat footed, because the thing is, as I've said before, as you've said, like, this is people's livelihood. This is people's day to day. They don't have time to fix this themselves. And the last thing you want from the community that you like love and trust is to be surprised. Right. And so like, I think our team, the concept of really investing in developer relations came out of the 5.0 retrospective, came out of just like, whoa, we really surprised a lot of people. We hurt a lot of feelings and we caused a lot of pain. And I don't think that, you know, the five people on my team can do that alone, can prevent those kind of things. But having us, and I think we're really trying to work as much with the community as we can. So like, you know, elevating other voices, getting people in a room together to talk things out, you know, collaboratively problem solve, that kind of thing. So that's sort of what developer relationship is at Automattic. It's a little different in private, you know, because we're entirely focused on the .org project. If we were on, you know, a proprietary company, it might look a little different, but it's still basically, are the developers doing okay? Can we make them happier? Can we help them succeed?
Well, I will say for anyone listening, that the couple tutorials I've come across over time, and again, things are changing really fast, and I'm not sure where people are at with maintaining these. So it might be worthwhile to reach out directly. But Zach Gordon created Gutenberg.courses, and it's a whole WordPress block development course with JavaScript. So he's an excellent instructor, formerly with Team Treehouse, and an all-around great guy. We all know Zach, correct? Yeah. And so his course is still up. And then Bill Erickson did this like 3 years ago. He kind of did a blog post on BillErickson.net on building a Gutenberg block. It's not a huge tutorial, but it's just an example of how he used Zach's course. And then there's gutenberghub.com, which has a bunch of developer tutorials. iThemes, some iThemes has always been great with putting out tutorials. And Tuts Plus has some tutorials. And of course, Udemy's in on the action. And so, you know, there are resources out there, but I guess if I were doing this, I'd probably be inclined to start with Zach's. And it's interesting, you know, having the make.wordpress.org or learn.wordpress.org as a resource, I've always found it's, I think, almost a little too corporate in a way. It tends to follow very strict standards in terms of style and stuff, which doesn't always allow for the most human of experiences and language. And so even the developer docs, the codex was always a little bit more friendly than what's happened with the developer docs.
I miss the codex.
I miss the codex too, because it had so many great examples and kind of like, you know, wow, I could really use this. Whereas the developer docs was just more like, a science manual without any recipes or
right. I look at the pictures.
We like to look at the pictures. We learn by picture books.
Yeah, right?
I love that. Don't no give shame. Me the 600 page, you know, tell me how an atom is built. So that is where the learn. And I used to be a technical writer and do software documentation and stuff. So I understand that wanting. And that's why when I worked for a software company, we had our documentation. But you know what? All these publishing companies made a lot of money writing the human languaged version.
Like, hey, do the thing. You did just do this thing. Did you do that thing to do this? Great. Good.
Yeah.
Like, that's the way I teach too. So.
But it's true. You're always going to have the more corporate take, and there's always going to have to be those people out on their own not mm-hmm. related, who are Absolutely. Doing a much, much better job at explaining everything. So it's hard, Tara, to create that within that structure. So I love that you're willing to elevate totally. The voices who are, you know,
yeah,
doing that on the outside for sure.
I mean, there's definitely, when you're talking about like official project stuff, right? It's like, you want things to be a certain way because everyone needs to be able to do it. And if, you know, if we're going to translate it, like it needs to be available to everyone. And there's so much stuff around that. So it's like, I feel like right now our official WordPress.org docs are just not quite there. Like they're kind of disorganized and there's pieces missing. And so I want that to be complete.
At least thorough.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And like part of this is, like I said, it's just changing so quickly. So like we're kind of always playing catch up. But once that's there, not once, I'm not trying to hold anybody back, but like I want that to be there as the resource that people can point to and say, see, this is where I got all the property information from because it's all listed here in the docs or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But I totally agree. I mean, everybody has different learning styles, whether that's, like you said, picture books, visual, you know, in-person or live content. People love that too. And I mean, we've got 5 people on our team. It's just not possible. So really all about trying to identify who out there is doing good stuff and elevate it. And I think one thing WordPress has not always done a wonderful job of, because it's done such a good job of centering the end user. Like WordPress has always been so good at that. I remember my first WordCamp, all these like business sessions. You go to a Drupal camp, it's like code, 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 code. Maybe one design session. You know, it's like, it's very focused on the developer. And I remember WordPress sessions, I was like, we're just going to talk about SEO right now. Okay. And Drupal's gotten better. And I feel like WordPress, like they've kind of come together, but I was so surprised. And it's like this amazing focus on the end user that I think is why WordPress is just absolutely eating the internet. And it's amazing. But I do think that we haven't, as a project, been good at talking to developers who are not building WordPress, but using WordPress, right? Sort of like people like all the 3 of us, right? Who have a need to write code, to extend WordPress. And there is stuff, like it's like, but there's, it's hard to find a way to talk to that group of people right now in official channels. It's much easier in unofficial channels. Like, absolutely. So you have Bloomberg Times or you have all these different places. And so anyway, we're trying to, I think, as project members, kind of look at what kind of space might be necessary. Like, is there a space on WordPress.org for that? Or, you know, just where can developers gather to talk? And I'd, like I said, I don't know if it's actually official channels or not that need to be built, but just finding that has been really interesting because it has historically been kind of like the second, you know, you've got users and then like developers kind of come next, it feels like.
Yeah. And I, as also a self-taught developer, but more on, you know, I was an art major. I did all of the design stuff, but, you know, focused on like user experience and stuff. I've always, especially when I've been, working for myself full time, I mean, I do all of it. I do all of the, you know, sales to client relations to strategy to all that. So I didn't have enough time to be able to contribute what I wanted to.
Right.
'Cause I'm like, yeah. I have ideas. I want to be able to make this a better tool because, you know, I'm using it. We're all using it. And I've gotten some, from my perspective, from my clients, from my work, I've gotten some perspectives that I think would be really valuable for a team. Mm-hmm. But I haven't had a chance, like, to get into the official channels is not something that I have the ability time. To do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And I wonder if it's almost like, I feel like you could get like a lot of things now is like very boot camp related kind of thing. So like mm-hmm. online courses, you know, intensive courses. Like I almost wonder if it's, again, not reinventing the wheel. Is that something you partner with someone and do that?
Absolutely.
Or yeah, because I think that, because then I'd be like, okay, well, I could do a couple classes, but I would need to like, I want to be able to like ask questions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And get feedback.
Yeah,
exactly. Absolutely.
Yeah. And it is so important to have that because, you know, as a person who is more of a front end person, but I have to deal with a lot of plugins and extend them, you know, so I am doing PHP. I am getting into the muck of things, deep into the weeds. And And then seeing all the different kind of coding standards that come out of these, and just would be lovely to, you know, I think people are aware of some standards, you know, not everyone is. Mm-hmm. Some people are really kind of going rogue and just coding their own stuff on top of WordPress, you know, but the blog project, I think, is a really good opportunity to say, you know, this is really, you could do it this way, but you mm-hmm. could also do it this way. And actually this is the better way. And almost having code review sessions, I think, would be really interesting. Yeah. Where you just kind of invite people like, oh, you're starting to get your, you know, feet wet, or maybe you're a more advanced developer. I think that was one of the more useful things we did for developers at WordCamp Denver, is Zach with Gravity View led a code review session, and they just put code up on Zach Katz up on the screen, and then they just kind of went through it, and they were very gentle and loving. There was no harsh words said, right. But I felt like, even as someone who maybe wasn't quite as advanced as maybe some of these people were, it was really great to hear them talk about, oh, you should do it that way. And I could recognize that. I could say, mm-hmm. oh. And so that's part of the picture book example too, is where you're learning by the examples. I've always felt like all developers, we've talked about that in the community, share your code, and people are embarrassed to do that. But yeah. I think the more invitations you can make to share your code, and then we learn from each other. So
yeah, kind of, I love that.
Let's gather around the fire.
And sing Birgit,
and yes, that's required. We'll open and close with it. Birgit Polyhack of Gutenberg Times just proposed on the Make Core, I think it's Core blog, developer hours. So it would be sort of like, get a couple Gutenberg experts in the room, but then they're just kind of there to help brainstorm, help troubleshoot. People can bring whatever they want to bring. So just totally like an open call for anyone to come in. So like, I love this code review sessions idea too. I think that's a little more kind of structured. And I think for so many people in WordPress, there's so many people working in very small companies or solo. And like, you don't have anybody to do code reviews. I remember I stopped doing solo work because I felt like I was hitting my ceiling as a developer. I just was like, I can't learn. Like, I have exceeded my ability to teach myself, which is cool. It was an exciting moment, but I needed somebody to look at my code and say, oh, you're not doing, you know, this needs to be fixed, this thing, whatever. So I love that idea. I'm totally taking that back and give you credit for it.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I love it. So as someone, I even though me and like I hate relationship with JavaScript. It's not how my brain works. Sure. But I know React is even different than that. Like, what kind of tips, because you came from PHP, right? Mm-hmm. Like, what kind of things did help you in translating from, because PHP, HTML, CSS, that works how my brain works. I get it. Mm-hmm. JavaScript and all of that, I'm like, nope. Oh. It's opposite of what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's such a good question. I feel like I should have thought about it more before I got here. because I love it. And I should be able to answer it. For me, like I said, so I do feel like learning object-oriented programming was helpful, because React is a little bit more object-oriented than like the WordPress PHP style. And that was the biggest switch for me. A friend of mine from the Drupal community gave this talk. It's just about object-oriented programming. It's not Drupal specific at all, where she used Pokemon to describe how you write object-oriented programming and how you can transform. I'm not a Pokemon person, so I don't like totally get that part of it, but it was fun.
This is going to be a Twitter quote. I'm just preparing you, this Pokemon thing. So get it out there, because I'm gonna yeah. React, you know, like Pokemon.
It's exactly like Pokemon. So no, I'm just thinking about Pokemon. Sorry. It helped me understand kind of like the component mindset that I feel like is part of Gutenberg, and helped me kind of, even though it's not exactly one-to-one. So that was one thing that I kind of had to get get into my brain. And it was a challenge. And then the other thing is just, like I said, even though the examples on the Gutenberg report are a little bit out of date, although they're slowly getting updated. Mm-hmm. For me, it was really looking at like the most complicated, for some reason, I like to look at the most complicated thing. And then when it, like when my brain can't handle it anymore, I like go one level simpler. I don't know why I do that. It seems very backwards.
It's like going into the pool and then jump into the hot tub.
Exactly. It's like, but so it's like, I looked at, there's a recipe card, which isn't actually technically, I think, the most complicated one in the examples repo. And that kind of, I was like, okay, so I don't understand any of this, but I can understand how to do this part. So then I like went and kind of worked my way towards the simple stuff. I don't, like I said, I don't know why my brain works that way. But for me, it was examples and kind of getting that kind of component mindset, because for me previously, like PHP had been so much like, I don't know,
it's linear.
The procedural thing. Yeah. It's linear. It's sort of, it feels like time-based, like I can understand it. And then trying to read object oriented code or like component type stuff, it was like, wait, what,
where does trigonometry?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I don't know where it went.
So now we have Pokemon and trigonometry. All right. Yeah. Cool. Anything else? So
if you learn those two things, you'll be great.
You'll be fine.
Just Pokemon and trig. You'll be fine.
Well, I think that's a great tip though, for people who want to learn. I feel like this gets back to the learning styles thing. Like, how do you learn? Mm-hmm. I would say, regardless if you learn in person or you learn with video or you learn by reading, one way that I think all of us learn is by example. Like, you can never, you can't skip that part. And I love the concept of deconstructing, that we all need to deconstruct. And so the more that we can be facilitated in our deconstruction process, like maybe, we could look at something like, I don't even know where to begin to deconstruct this, but if someone's kind of guiding you through the deconstruction, and it's in a way you took yourself there. And I think that's great. You know, you start with the complicated thing and then kind of work your way back. That's exactly how a lot of people learn. You know, you take that car engine apart.
There were certainly, when I was learning, I was like, okay, I know that you can make this kind of a field because WordPress core does it. Right. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And then I had to figure out, like, I think the compile step, right, kind of also complicates things because you're looking at compiled code. But if you go to the WordPress like repo, there's the source files. You can look at it there. And I think for me, a lot of how I originally learned to code was like, honestly, looking at WordPress and Drupal core, because I knew it could be done. It was like, this is possible. I will find out. And so I also kind of went down the rabbit hole of the core blocks of how did these get made? How did they put this particular like styling option in the bar or that kind of stuff, really. But I was surprised how much of it really was like, once I found the right example, it was like, oh, okay. It all, like, this just works. You know, this sidebar pops up when I get this here. So like, it took me a minute to kind of figure out how to work with it. And I think, like I said, we still need a lot more support around how to help people figure that out. But the examples were really, really helpful.
Yeah, I mean, I think about like how I taught myself HTML. I did buy an HTML book back in 96 or 97 or something like that. Mm-hmm. But what did I do is I went and I looked at source code and I copied it and I pasted it into my Angel Fire site to see what it did. And then I was like, I changed things. You're like, oh, okay, that makes this do that. Great, cool. Now I've learned that bit of it. And exactly, those samples, the pictures. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
The pictures go a long way.
And that's where I never thought I could do PHP. And over the years, I've done more and more and more and more PHP. And thank goodness for Stack Overflow. And then you can see, if you see multiple examples, and then you see the bad examples and you see the good examples. But I am so good at extrapolating and then reapplying to another situation. So the more examples you have, the more that you kind of get your Legos and, you know, and you're like, okay, I can kind of combine this blue Lego and this purple Lego, and I'm going to melt them down. I'm going to make a purple, you know, whatever. It's so important. So if I were to offer any suggestions for the documentation, you definitely need the component pieces that, you know, defined all the pieces defined, yeah. But you know, because you actually have to document the thing in a kind of a dictionary okay. kind of way. Right. But yeah. I would almost focus more on examples than tutorials kind of, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, because people can learn from example.
And just, I think about looking at how I learn and my time, my ADHD has enough time to kind of look at the examples. And I was like, okay, now I just want to play with it. And now I want to see if I can figure right. it out from here. I don't have the attention control to be able to go through a whole tutorial sometimes. So yeah, like that makes a lot of sense. But I also really like when you were talking about kind of having those forums, and because what we're talking about here is examples, but learning from other people and that shared knowledge, I think, is really key. And examples of good code, like code reviews, all of these things, it's like it's really using the community.
Examples of bad code.
Yeah.
Don't do this. You're like, this, oh shoot, good. I'm doing that. I've been there. Yeah. No, yeah. It's and taking it from the simpler ones and some complex ones and kind of building on that. And I love like what Tracy says, like if it's something you could just take and put on your environment. And at least you've gotten that far. They know how to create the environment. You put it in there and then you can play around with it and break things.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But if you absolutely. Can't even get as far to even have something there to break, it's better to, yeah. It's better to learn how to break things than it is to build things.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, I'm really glad that I started teaching myself code back in 96 before all of these you know, task runners and all this command line stuff, because I'm like, I used to just open up a notepad document and I would start typing my HTML. And now I'm like, I get it. I understand. I do have, you know, my, I use these tools like, I use Gulp and these task runners to be able to do a lot of these things that were harder to do, but to set it up, it took me years.
Yes.
Because it was one of those things, but now do this. Be like, but where does that go? Like, this is step 7. I step pre-0.
I need negative 5 through exactly. 6 still.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, what program am I putting this in? What is like?
And it's so hard to find out when you don't have that. Like, so I give a talk, or I used to give a talk when I gave talks, when events happened. Called like intro to WordPress command line tools. And it was because when I was learning, people would be like, oh, type this into your terminal. I didn't know what that was. I didn't know where to find that or how to get that open. And when you're trying to like Google that and you don't know the words for any of it, like if you try to Google like dash V, which is a flag you can pass on the command line, Google is like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And so trying to give that language to people to understand those tools. Cause for me, I put off WPCLI for like years and years. And when I finally did it, I was like, I could have saved myself like a month of my life.
Yeah.
So trying to give people those tools as much as I can, cause it is hard. It's so hard to get started.
Just to get over that initial hump. For sure. Yeah. I'm reading your bio and you know, I kind of, when you first talked, it's almost like it sounded like Drupal was this past thing you gave up but no, you're still very much active in the Drupal verse.
Yeah.
And, tell us, are Drupal people different than WordPress people? Are we very, I mean, are we similar? Like, is it because is it because it's open source? There's a similar vibe or is there kind of a different, do you deal with as many end users in that universe as
I was going to say WordPress? I feel like the kind of core community members, I don't even know how I would describe that, but people who have like been committed, going to events, doing things like running podcasts, I feel like they're actually very similar. Sometimes it feels like cousins who have some kind of competitive relationship. You know what I mean? It's like,
grandma you're likes actually me more, better.
Yeah. Pretty much like who's going to get the inheritance. So it's like people are very, the open source thing is so crucial to both projects, and it's so similar. There are differences. I think WordPress is more centralized, like the WordCamp sort of process mm-hmm. of getting approved mm-hmm. and all that. In Drupal, maybe you could get in trouble if you ran like a really bad event and used the Drupal trademark, but that's like it. You can otherwise do anything you want. Every Drupal camp you go to is going to have a different vibe where I feel like in WordPress, it's much more predictable. So there are things about the communities that are different. Individuals within it are fairly similar. I do think you're right that when I would go to Drupal camps or DrupalCon or whatever, and I'm at a booth and like, what do? It's, I'm a developer, I'm a designer, I'm a front end developer, I'm a, you know, business person. And it's all very much related to the code side and sort of that. Whereas you go to a WordCamp and you ask someone what they do, and they might say that they're a doctor, or they might say they're a travel blogger or something. Like it's just a totally different world in terms of the people who are using the software. There are still doctors using WordPress, but they don't, or sorry, using Drupal, but they don't come to Drupal events in the way that WordPress that happens. So it's very similar, but there are some significant differences.
Have they adopted a block editor for their project?
No, there is, the Gutenberg project has been ported to Drupal. So you can use Gutenberg in Drupal if you want, but it's not, it's just an optional version. What Drupal is doing is sort of reworking the whole block page builder discussion is very different in that space. So, where WordPress has really gone a long way towards, you know, there's like a proliferation of page builders, giving a lot of user control to handle the pages. Drupal is, generally speaking, less like that. There is something called the paragraphs module, which is kind of close to Gutenberg and to a block editor. But in general, it's like your developer builds you your template for your kind of page and this kind of page and that kind of page. So it's different. And Gutenberg is talked about in Drupal, partially because I think it's intimidating. It's so easy to use that I think Drupal people are like, that could be bad for us, right? Like if it's that easy to use. So, but nobody, it has not become dominant or anything like that in the community.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Well, we are getting close to our time here. Yeah. And it has, I mean, I just looked at the clock and it's like, wow, that went so fast. And there's just so much more to talk about. And I really hope that we will find you. We will find each other in Europe is my dream for our future.
I will subscribe to this dream. It sounds wonderful.
Yes. And can you tell people listening how they can find you?
Yeah, absolutely. I am Sparkling Robots on Twitter. Spelled as those two words together, Sparkling Robots. I'm also Sparkling Robots on WordPress.org and the WordPress Slack and PostStatus, pretty much everywhere. So if you see Sparkling Robots, you can reach out and say hi. I would love to hear from folks who are struggling with Gutenberg or having success with Gutenberg. It's literally my job to care about that, and I love my job, so let's do that. And Tara.King, Tara.King at automatic.com if you want to email me.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah.
And I just want to give a shout out again to our sponsor, Ninja Forms, a great form building plugin for the professionals out there and end users and anyone who wants pretty forms on their site.
Thank you for listening. Interested in being on the show? Sign up on our website, womeninwp.com. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and join our Facebook group to have conversations with other women in WordPress.